Spiritually in this church, and this morning I have the privilege and honor to be delivering the word of God to you. So I just pray that he will speak to you through my lips. It's quite fitting that the song we sang this morning was "Lead Me to the Cross Where Your Love Poured Out," where God's love poured out for us. And today I will be making the case for love. I hope you all agree with me that love is one of our favorite topics, whether you're Christian or non-Christian. We like to talk about love and being in love and loving other people, and you know, you get lots of movies and just love everywhere. But today I'm not going to talk about the love that you see in the movies. I'm going to talk about the ultimate love, the love that we all crave, even though we look for it in other areas of life and even our own ideas of love, but this is the love. So I will make the case for love. I will cover why do we need to love as Christians, who should we love, how are we actually able to love, and how can we stir up and practice love amongst one another, and also what are the consequences of love, and then at the end we'll have a practical where we will practice stirring up and practicing love. So I'm quite looking forward to that. That will give you something to look forward to. Okay, so why must we love? I'm going to give you the answer that you could probably imagine parents telling their two-year-olds. We love because Jesus told us to. He not only told us to, he commanded us to. And as we all know, as followers of Christ, we have no choice when it comes to loving. We have no choice. We are commanded to love. If you want to call yourself a Christian, live a Christian life, then we have been commanded to love. And this verse highlights that we don't naturally tend towards love. Because just the fact that Jesus commanded us to do it, you know, just the virtue that he thought he had to command us kind of tells us that if he didn't command us, there's a possibility we might not love each other. And I think if you look at the world today, it's quite true. We know that we don't naturally tend towards loving each other. But thank God for his commandments, and we're set to obey him. But we serve a God, fortunately, that says, come, let us reason together. So he commands us to love, but he also explains to us, he gives us a taste, he helps us to understand why we should love. So, aside from him commanding us to love, what are the reasons why should we love? Moving on to the image of God. We love because love is something that's intrinsic to the image of God. And he has called us to bear his image. What a privilege that God would ask us as his body to bear his image. Now, in the world, we know that God has made particular institutions to bear this particular image of his love, and only particular institutions actually have the ability to bear this particular image of love. You could argue that anything good in the world, when we look at nature, we see human beings that are excellent, they all portray a particular image of love. But if there's an excellent doctor who's a Christian and an excellent doctor who's not Christian, what's the distinguishing factor between the two excellent doctors? The fact that the Christian doctor has the ability to love and love the way that God can love. So it's not enough to say, oh, I'm going to show the world God's image by just absorbing myself in my studies and being as excellent as I can, because even the atheists and the people in the world can do that. As well as being excellent, we need this defining, this distinguishing factor, which is love. So if we go to Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And this verse basically says that he created male and female in his image. And it basically means that the institution of marriage in itself bears the image of God on it. So, and we all know that when we think of marriage, we think of love. And For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is very great, but I speak concerning the relation of Christ and the church. So this tells us that the institution of marriage, even though it is about love, it is about God's love. So, and I've not been married, obviously, but I will speak to the people who are married and the people who would like to be married. Hands up, who wants to be married? So, everyone in this room. So, the image of God in marriage is just not about your own little bubble. It's not about just getting married and having your bubble. The world must not only see the image of God, but it must encounter the image of God, must encounter God, must encounter the love of God. And so your marriage actually is for everyone. If your marriage is to reflect the love of God to his church, God's love is one that is for everyone. So I'll explain myself. So when you practice love towards each other, you create an environment of God's love, and that environment of God's love can minister to other people. So you have your love bubble, and then you create God's love between the two of you, and then other people see the love that you have for each other, but then you create an environment of love that you can allow other people to come into and experience the love of God where they may not have experienced it before. So invite them into your home, invite them into your life. You know, not obviously the two of you have your own private, you know, you're one at this moment, but as well as being one, you have to spread the love to us singles who tend to be a bit lonely sometimes, you know. So yeah, demonstrate to us God's love, and also demonstrate it to people who are in the world as well. So, and we have, the Bible says to imitate your spiritual leaders, and we have our spiritual leaders, David and Sally, who are married, and I think their marriage is just, I've experienced love. Everyone has experienced love here from their marriage, and I think actually for us who aim to be married one day, we should try to imitate their marriage and how they portray the image of love, and not just for themselves, but also for the benefit of everyone else as well. So that's one reason why we should love, bearing the image of God in marriage and sharing it with other people. But there's something that I've actually noticed from my own experience. Quite frequently, those of you who know me, you'll know that I actually offend people. Not intentionally, but I do. And actually, my confidence comes from the fact that I'm confident that God is faithful to me, and he is making me into a better person day by day, so I will offend people less. But the fact is that I do offend people, and it's a weakness, and it's a result of insecurities and things that I have in my life. Not that I'm excusing it, I'm just saying that, you know, we all have issues that God is working in us. But I've often found that when I actually have offended people, so if I get emotional, there's actually a pain that you feel when someone rejects you as a result of the weakness that you have. You know? Because, and I found that actually, when I was thinking about this last week, I realized that this feeling of pain is something that probably maybe the whole of humankind actually feels. When you have a weakness, and it's almost like you know that God is going to work it out in you, but to some extent you can't force yourself to be a better person. So you're kind of dependent on the other person to have grace for you and to forgive you and love you even with your weaknesses, you know? And I found that this craving to want to be in that safe place where I'm accepted, even with my weaknesses, is something that has driven my need to be married as a single. You see, we all have reasons why you want to be married. So this is mine. And I think perhaps for a lot of singles, it is an issue. And even the whole world, I think the whole world is craving for a place where they are accepted, even at the stage where they're at, where they're free to be themselves But knowing that their weaknesses, there will be grace for them, and that they will be loved through that weakness, even when they have that weakness. You see what I mean? And this is real love. This is real love when you're able to love someone even with their weakness, even if they are ugly to you in a way. You know, and every human being wants that love. And thank God, because he set the example. And it says that while we were enemies with him, enemies to him, while we were repulsive to him, he demonstrated his love to us, and he came and he died for us. And this is a love that we are called as Christians to replicate. So should I, as a single, be waiting till I get married to experience this kind of love? No. No, I should not be craving, you know, this kind of, I should be like, oh, I want to get married soon because I just want that person who's just going to accept me for who I am and love. No, actually, because God has placed his image not only on marriage, but he has placed his image on his body as well. So actually, we have this duty, similar to in marriage, even outside of marriage, we have this duty to love one another and love each other as Christ loves us, regardless to each other's weaknesses. So actually, there's no single in this room who should be craving a place, a safe place where they're accepted. Every single in this room should be, is in the body of Christ, and by virtue of being in the body of Christ, should be experiencing that love. If we're not experiencing that love, then there's something we need to work on. Is that a goal for home groups? Okay? So our goal is, as singles and married, we need to exercise creating that safe place for each other where we're free to be ourselves and will not suffer rejection because of our weaknesses. Okay, so I've discussed why God, why we should love, because God told us to, and also because we bear his image in the institute of marriage, which points to the relationship between God and his church, and also the image of God in the body as well. So there's a case for love for everybody. Okay. And just for the image of God in the body, some Bible verses to back up what I was saying. So, for the body, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So, by the grace of God, we've put on a new self, we're all Christians, and we're being renewed in the knowledge in the image of God. And then in John 13:35, it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So it's one thing to be call yourself a Christian. It's another thing to be a disciple. And disciples will be known by the love that they have for one another. So I'd like to think we have disciples in this room, we're all disciples, so we're all going to love one another, and this is the distinguishing factor. This is what distinguishes us from the rest of the world. People will know that we are God's children, we're his disciples, by the love that we have for one another. So, who do we love? Okay. So this is one situation where we're allowed to have a godly bias towards who whom we love. Okay, so the Bible says, what we know already, that we should love one another. But then it also says in Galatians 6:10, so then, as occasion and opportunity open up to us, let us do good to all people. So we're doing good, we love all people, not only being useful or profitable to them, but also doing what is for their spiritual good and advantage. This is the Amplified version. Be mindful to be a blessing, especially to those of the household of faith. Okay, so the Bible clearly says that we are to love everyone, but then he said, especially to the household of faith. So this talks about a priority. So, in terms of priority, we love what we sacrifice. Would you agree? If you're willing to sacrifice for something, then you must love that thing that you're sacrificing for, isn't it? And God, Jesus made the example by sacrificing for us. So when I'm saying to be biased towards your the children of God. If you're willing to sacrifice something, I'd argue that you should sacrifice first for the body and then for anything else after that. I'll try to clarify myself further. So, you know, time is limited for each of us, for all of us, and I'd say my opinion is one of the most precious things that we have is our time, considering that we just don't know when the end is near. And so, for example, love would be sacrificing your time for someone else, sacrificing your time for the body. So, for example, if we give our time to each other and give attention to each other, for example, in things like coming to home group, loving each other, turning up on a Sunday, not to do church, but you're turning up on a Sunday to give your time and attention to your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're showing you love them, and also you're prioritizing them. You know, because you could do all kinds of things on a Sunday. You can do all kinds of things on a Wednesday with your time. But your priority actually is to love the body first, to love your brother and sister first. If you love your brother and sister first, then there's actually hope for your non-Christian friends, because by loving your brothers and sisters, they see what love is, this committed, faithful love. They see what it is, and if they see this love, then they are seeing an image of God, and if they see an image of God, they then have an opportunity to respond to God, more than if you decided not to love your brothers and sisters and just ran off with your other friends all the time, if you see what I mean. Because we tend to think that, oh, if I go and how will they know the love of God if I don't go and spend time with them? But actually, it's counterintuitive. They will know the love of God by you practicing real love through commitment, faithfulness, all these kinds of things. That's real love to the body. And when they see the image of God, it actually creates an opportunity for them to see what they're actually coming into and want to be a part of it, want to be part of the body. So God isn't just saying love first the body. Well, if he said to just love the body first and didn't explain himself, we'd have to do it anyway out of obedience. But actually, he's enabled us to understand the benefits of actually loving each other first and putting each other first in terms of time. Another precious thing is money. And I was thinking of this this morning, and I never thought of it that way. So I'm going to kind of turn it the other way around and show you. So for example, giving money. We like to give money to these massive charities. Like, for example, give money to an orphan kid in Africa who's... Okay, so giving money to an orphan kid in Africa, there's nothing wrong with that. That's an amazing testimony to that child. But if you are giving money to an orphan kid in Africa, you're then... and not contributing financially to your local brothers and sisters who may be orphaned spiritually or orphaned psychologically, you're putting... you're prioritizing someone you don't know over someone who God has put on your doorstep in a way. So there's nothing wrong with financially, you know, contributing to orphans in Africa. That's great. But I thought of it this way. Imagine you had a really sick brother and sister on your doorstep, and you wake up every morning. You wake up, you step over your really sick brother and sister and walk to the other end of town to help out a really sick someone that you actually don't know. It doesn't feel right. So there's nothing wrong with going to the other side of town and helping that sick person, but you can't step over your really sick brother and sister who's on the doorstep. There's just not, there's something not quite right there, you see? So I'm just trying to reinforce the image of actually prioritizing the people that God has actually put around you immediately before you actually go out and, you know, elsewhere. So, yes. So, mindful to be a blessing, especially to those of the household of faith. So, yeah, I know that was slightly sensitive. Time and money are always sensitive issues. But, yeah, those are just two examples. So, we love each other first and love everyone else. So how are we actually able to love? Because like I mentioned before, we don't actually naturally tend towards love unless we think it has something in it for us, you know. And we know God's love isn't actually like that. Fortunately, God has actually given his spirit. In Romans 5:5, it says, such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So thank God we have hope. We have hope. We are actually able to love each other. God has given us an ability to love each other by pouring out his love into us by his spirit. And this is why we can actually love in this way, and other people who don't, who are non-believers, you're less likely to experience this kind of love, because this particular love has been poured out. We've been given an ability to do it by his Holy Spirit. So fortunately, we don't have to depend on ourselves and think, oh, I don't have an ability to love. I'm not naturally a loving person or an attentive or caring person. We're able to praise God that he's actually given us an ability, and we just have to tap into that and ask him to show us how to do it. So we know we can do it. So we can love. So how do we stir up love? Now that we know that we can love, how do we stir up love in each other? I see the married couple smiling. I think the married couples probably know a bit more about this than we do, how to stir up love in your partner or in someone else. We often think of this in a very romantic way. You know, a guy likes a girl and he wants him to like her, so he goes and he gets something or does this magnificent act for her to try and stir up love in this young lady. But in this context, God has actually said in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up to love. Stir up being like stimulate and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. So in this context, he's not talking about a romantic relationship, even though it can include a romantic relationship, but he's talking about in us as a body, we're actually told to stir up love in one another. So it's not enough to actually just come and say, oh, hi, how are you? You're fine, that's it, da, 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 we've done church, you know. We're actually supposed to make an effort to study one another, look at each other, what's that person's need, you know. Be attentive. When you've asked, hi, how are you? They might say fine, but really, are they actually fine? Maybe they just don't want to burden you, you know, or they think you're just asking because, you know, we're polite British people and you're supposed to ask, you know, how are you and that sort of thing. You know, we're supposed to be attentive to each other. When you ask, how are you? Actually look at them and see, how are you really? You know, I actually care. I want to give you my attention. I want to stir up love in you, you know. So this is the kind of relationship that the Bible is saying that we should have. We should actively make an effort to stir up love in each other. So examples are, like for example, cooking for each other. Thank you. I love this one in particular. Cleaning the house. Okay. Yeah. You can clean someone else's house if you want to. If they were, you know, if they had a really busy lifestyle, you know, they're busy with the kids or busy at work and you're bored at home, you know, just feeling sorry for yourself, oh, I'm lonely and all this stuff. You could actually get up and stir up love in somebody else, you know. Or the other way around, the married people could be like, oh, you know, my house is all tidy and, you know, that student over there, she's broke. She needs some money. Why don't you come clean my house? I'll give you a token of love financially. You know? I'll stir up some love in you. I love this stirring up thing. Do you like it, stirring up love? I think the students like it more than the married couple. Yes, to stir up, and I'll give you an example. This week, I was actually, I went to a lecture, and I was really hungry, actually, and I was hungry because I was trying to stretch. I've been stretching this amount of money recently until my student loan comes in, so I've been quite broke. And so throughout the whole of the lecture, I'm trying to concentrate, and I can't because I'm actually really hungry. And then Torsten sits down next to me with this sandwich. And I was just like, oh, God, please. So hungry. And then Tosti was like, oh, Nadine, do you want some white sandwich? I was like, thank you so much. And I did actually tell her that I hadn't eaten anything because I'm broke. And actually, I knew that Tosin wanted the other half of her sandwich. And I could have been really proud and said, oh, you have it. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to impose myself on you have the other half of the sandwich. But actually, no. I was hungry and I accepted her love. Like, you accept the love of Christ. And actually, the fact that she wanted it more, I saw her sacrifice and I saw her love for me in that sacrifice. You know, real love encompasses sacrifice. You know, so that's an example of Tosin stirring up love in me for her. Amen. So we're going to make efforts to stir up love in each other. Sorry. But there's a scenario, actually, that occurs when we try to stir up love in each other sometimes. There's times when we try to stir up love in someone else and they don't receive it or they don't want it. What do you do then? You've gone through this massive effort of pouring out your love, your time, your finance into someone and they've just said, I don't want it. Or they just look at it and be like, what's that? You know, completely like disregarding. First of all, I guess the normal reaction for any normal person is actually to be hurt because someone has rejected your efforts and your time and all these things. But I'd like you to take your mind back to what Christ did. So Christ, you know, went through an amazing extent to demonstrate his love to us by sacrificing himself, paying for sins that he didn't commit. And we always talk about the sacrifice, but also this is God deliberately limiting himself to a human body. Why would God do that? You know that you're able to do anything and you come down and you limit yourself to a human body and have people taunt you and tell you all these kinds of rubbish. And you know that if you want to, you can actually wipe them out, but then you don't, you know, because of love. And then you go through, you sacrifice yourself for everyone. And then guess what? Some people will accept Christ's love, but some people actually don't. But did that stop God doing that act of love, performing that act of love? His love was completely unconditional. He came down and he died for all of us. He hands out that gift of love to us and allows us to say yes or no. And this is God's love. It's an unconditional love. So I will challenge you, when actually trying to stir up love, stirring up love in yourself and truly loving other people, it means putting yourself in a vulnerable position. That person actually doesn't have to receive that love. However, for it to be unconditional love, you have to love them regardless to their response. So this is a really difficult situation to be in, actually. But this is what Christ did for us. We don't love people because we want them to be happy and say thank you, because that means you're doing it so that you can receive a thank you, so that you can see their happiness. But actually, if you're giving this unconditional love, you're giving it full stop. You wanted to love that person. You loved that. You've performed your act of love. And that's it, full stop. It's for them to do what they want. So actually, loving someone is a very vulnerable position to put yourself into. And it's one where we can actually get hurt and probably will get hurt in the body of Christ. However, we're called to forgive people, because the reason why people do not receive your love, it can be a multitude of reasons why they're not able to. Maybe something happened in their life. You know, full stop, we're all sinners. It's because of sin, and we're all suffering because of it. And maybe that person can't receive your love for whatever reason, you can't understand. Regardless of whether you can understand or not, you have to forgive that person and continue to love them. Because if you continue to love them, you're actually enabling that person to maybe one day see the image of God and have the opportunity to change. Bear in mind that God can change them without you anyway. But if you do it this way, you'll be stirring up love in yourself, and you will actually be presenting a true image of Christ. So on the other hand, we must talk about receiving love. So imagine someone has put all this effort and giving you something and you don't like it. That person has gone through all of that effort to stir up love in themselves and in you, and you're not impressed. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can't make yourself impressed if you're just not impressed. However, what you can do is stir up love in the person who's giving to you by accepting graciously. So it's vice versa. Both of them are stirring up. You have opportunities to stir up love in each other. You can stir up love in giving, but you can actually stir up love in receiving graciously as well, regardless to how you feel about it. So it's a win-win. Everyone's stirring up love in each other. I want to give a really good example of that, actually, because it happened to me a few weeks back. I think something was wrong with me, and I explained to the group a few times what was actually wrong with me. And then someone came and prayed for me, and they prayed their heart out for me, only they prayed for something that I didn't say I had. And I was not gracious. I've learnt my lesson now. And I said, after they finished their passionate prayer, I basically said, that's not what's wrong with me. Because I was thinking in my head, they're praying for the wrong thing. Like, all of this prayer is for the wrong thing. And, you know, and I hurt this person's feelings massively. Because they, even though they didn't pray for the thing I wanted them to, they were pouring out their heart, actually, in this act for me, and I should have seen it and be thankful. That's why we should be thankful in all things, you know, instead of moaning straight away, oh, you didn't pray for the what I wanted you to. But actually that person praying, you know, put all that effort in, was stirring up their love and trying to stir up love in me, and I just squished it, you know, because of my own self-centeredness. So actually, what I should have done in that situation was to say, thank you so much for your prayer, and I'm just going to trust God that he sees your heart and he can heal me anyway, because God can do anything, isn't it? And I should have accepted that person's prayer graciously. Was that a good illustration? Did you understand the whole thing about giving love and stirring up love? Okay, good. So once we've stirred up love, stirring up love talks about an initiation of love. But we all know there's a romance phase, and then the romance phase fizzles out. So practicing love. The Bible says we must practice love. So Hebrews 13:1, let love for your fellow believers continue and be a fixed practice with you. And that word practice can mean two things. It means practice as in repeating, and it can also mean practice as in do. Love is in the do word, practice love. It must be a fixed practice, and then fixed practice meaning that it's continuous, it's there all the time. There's no break. We have to always love each other. And the reason why practice, when you practice things, you don't necessarily like doing it. Like, for example, Usain Bolt, he's the fastest man in the world. He had to have a say, and I had to mention his name. And I saw this documentary. Even though he's the fastest man in the world, there was this practice where he was literally throwing up. Like, when he was training, after training, he was literally throwing up. He's like, I hate training. And it's actually his coach that was like saying, look, you have to get up and you have to run. And to be as good as he had to practice. And practice, we won't always enjoy practicing, but we must do it to get the outcome. So there's times when we feel like loving, but there's times when we won't feel like loving, and we'll have to love each other. So, for example, there's something else that's more fun than meeting with the rest of your brothers and sisters in Christ on a Wednesday in the middle of the week for home group. Hint, hint. You know, and God says by coming to home group, you're going to love on your brothers and sisters. You're going to give them your time, your affection, things that are valuable to you. But quite frankly, there's something more fun that's on. I don't feel like loving them this Wednesday. I feel like going to the cinema or something, you know? So there's times we won't feel like loving. Or, for example, if we've been hurt by someone else, we don't feel like loving people that we've been hurt by, you know? Or, for example, if we don't naturally get on with someone. So there's some people that our personalities naturally click, and you like them, but like is not love. And you have to love people that you don't like, quite frankly, in the body of Christ. Because in the body of Christ, there's so many of us, we're all going to have different personalities, but it's not about liking each other. Love is not about liking each other. Love is about sacrifice. So you're called to love people even you don't like. We're called to love people that have been have hurt us, and we're called to sacrifice our time and do things that we might not prefer to do, because this is what love is. Love, if you go off with someone just because you like them, that's not necessarily love. But if you go with someone, even if you don't like them, and you go the extra mile with them, now that is Christly love. Because I'm pretty sure God did not like us in our sin, but he made that effort to demonstrate his love to us. And without that, there'd be no hope for us. And we're called to replicate this love. So, and imagine, we all have these weaknesses that God is working out in us continuously. So, like I said before, I have a tendency to offend people. And my prayer is that I won't unnecessarily offend people, and I'm trusting God that he will work in my character so I'm more gentle and gracious, etc., etc. But the chances are I probably will offend someone in my life to come. So basically, I'm hoping that that person, these people, someone might get offended by me multiple times, but I'm hoping that that person will exercise God's love for me and continue to love me by forgiving me every time that happens, and demonstrate God's love to me. So yeah, that's why we have to practice love. Okay? This is hard talk. This is real talk. And for those of us who would like to be married, I'd say that practicing it now is probably the best thing we can do, because there's no point hoping that we can just suddenly switch it on the minute the ring goes on. You know, we need to practice now. Am I right, married people? Yes. See, I'm not making it up. Okay. And you can practice loving me by forgiving me every time I offend you. And that will be great for your marriage as well. So you get something out of it. Okay. So I've made the case for love. And I've told you how we can love and the efforts we need to put in carrying on loving each other. And almost finally, the consequence of love. Colossians 3:14 says, "And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Amen. So love is what binds us all together in perfect unity. Jesus' prayer to God was that they be one as me and you are one, as I and the Father are one. Married people become one. The bride and Christ will become one. You know, one is the running theme. And how do we become one? By putting on love. And fortunately, the Bible says, where there is unity, God commands a blessing. So the consequence of love is blessing for everyone. So it's a win-win situation. We will be blessed, or non-Christian friends will be blessed, because there's hope for them to see the image of God and actually have an opportunity to respond to it and become a part of it with us. You know, so everyone's blessed. We will be blessed. The whole world will be blessed if we practice love. Amen. So finally, we are going to practice now. So for 5 minutes, what I'd like to do is for each leader in the church to find someone who is a visitor or a non-leader, sit with that person and ask them, "How are you?" Attentively. And studying them, stirring up love. And if you have any issues that you'd like to tell the leader, feel free. Or if you want to come and talk to me personally, you can do that for 5 minutes. Just ask, "How are you?" Go and ask someone, "How are you?" Cherry, you can go with Abby. If groups of two are not working, you can do groups of three. Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry to cut off the very deep conversations that are happening, but hopefully you can continue these deep conversations or prayer. Okay, you have 1 to 2 minutes of prayer time. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that practice of stirring up love in each other. This is something that we should be practicing on a daily basis. Every moment of every day, we should be seeking to stir up and practice love with each other. And we have one last practice of love. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. Want to say that we love you and we thank you very much. I hope you appreciate our stirring up of love, but obviously it's unconditional, so any response. And I think Dong wanted to be the first to give you a testimony of thanks.
It is working. 1, 2.
And then after Dong speaks, anyone else who feels like blessing David and Sally with your words, take the mic, bless them, and then after that we're all going to gather together and pray for them and then have cake.
Hi everyone, I want to get the lapel mic to work but I can't, so whoever wants to speak next would have to come over here. The leaders in Tooting have been looking forward to this day for quite a while, ever since a particular home group where we went to the David Sally's, whilst the rooms we don't normally go into, and I saw a picture frame on the wall that told me the information I've always been after for a very long time. We've been looking forward to this day. I personally am really happy to be here to see all of you guys and to have all of us to be able to share this moment with him. So I just want to give my own, thanksgiving for Dave and Sally. I've known them, just as when I first started coming to Shofar, which was about 4 years ago. And it's been a long road, really, just kind of like my walk with them and my walk in the Lord, and they played such an important part in that. Especially recently, while realizing that, as David said, being an only child, I had a lot of kind of things about relationship which I never understood, and David's really has been one of the best person to, in that regard, to have been able to guide me through this walk, and especially being relationship being the central thing in how in what God wants from us, and I've been really privileged in that regard. They've always shown me a lot of love, a lot of grace and discipline, from taking me when I was just a spiritual infant to the stage where I am today, where I'm part of the, I guess if I could say it, the leadership in Shofar Tooting has been really privileged, and it's been, difficult at times to be disciplined, but I always respected their discipline, and it's always taken me into the next step, and for that I really want to give thanks. There's so much that they taught me over the years, including the reality of the spiritual realm that we're in and how we have to be on guard always against the schemes of the devil, and for that I'm always indebted to them. And they've also really been an example in me in how to reach out to my parents. David offered to take up my parents for me after my graduation, and when I was moving from Tooting Grove to Ingleby House, just across hospital, David offered to use the van to help me move, and although the distance only, well, from one end of the hospital to another, I had so much stuff that the van was really a real kind of lifesaver at that time. And my dad wanted David to go home at the time because my dad didn't feel comfortable taking up his time, but David stayed for the whole duration, and I know that that would have spoken a lot to my dad about the love of God. And I guess the other thing is that, you know, I've been to South Africa for my elective, and I've met many godly leaders there, and they always say about David and Sally, because they've been over to South Africa as well, they don't know how they do it with the four children that they have, and also looking after a whole congregation like us. So, and that takes real special qualities to do. And I just want to, yeah, reiterate how blessed we are, I feel, to have them as our leaders, and really to be able to give thanks to God for them today is a real privilege. So, thank you, guys.
I think Jemima's going to get you some chairs so you can sit down, because it might take a while for everyone to say thank you. So I'll keep my short. I just want to say my thank you. God has loved me through you immensely, and actually your marriage has, the way how you operate in your marriage and the love environment that you create and the environment that you invite me into has made Christ's love more real to me, actually, and helped me to understand the father love, the mother love, and, you know, and when Dong talked about discipline, it's so true as well. I appreciate even the discipline, even though it feels horrible at times, but I did read in the Bible last night that discipline is supposed to feel horrible, but the outcome is good. So, yeah. So I just wanted to say thank you, and we love you so much, and it's our pleasure to give you this day off for it, so you can, you know, work on the one part. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much to say, but I just want to say thank you as well. You guys have been parents to me here. You know, I'm away from my parents at home, but you guys have just really been amazing, and your love is so tangible. And, you know, the love that Nadine was talking about here, you guys demonstrate this so practically. And you know, you just don't speak up there and say, do this, do that. You actually live it out. And that's amazing. And that's what Christ-like love is about. So I really appreciate that. Yeah, appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Yeah.
I just want to thank God as well for this day and just the opportunity to honor you. For me, I really want to honor you as our spiritual parents, you know. And my parents are in Crawley, but you know, as Jemima was just saying, I feel like I've got parents here, and not just parents here. Actually, I was just thinking about putting everything together in the past few weeks. My father, my biological father, is actually called David, and I think there was a reason why God actually did it that way. And just before I went to Zimbabwe a couple of weeks ago, I don't have time to say the whole testimony, but it's been a long journey with my dad, and we're not in the best of books, and because he was not in the spiritual position that he was supposed to be. He wasn't a Christian. By God's grace, he's just about there, you know. But I really want to thank God, because it's like he gave me a David, a man after God's heart, which my dad also is. And just the past few weeks, I've been realizing and learning his heart. But through David, I think I've just not only learned the Father, God's heart, the Father's heart through David, but even for me to get a natural picture of my father's heart. And I just really want to thank you for facilitating that healing process and just that reconciliation between my, you know, in my relationship with my dad. And Sally, you know, I don't know someone as real and as gentle as you are. It's like she can say the most horrible things, but in such an amazing way. And I just really thank God for you. You know, as a woman, you know, sometimes you find issues that you're thinking, oh, how can I say this? You know, but Sally is just like, you know, you can talk to her, you know, whatever it could be. You know, she's just so approachable, and you've spoken in my life together. Your prayers and your advice in my life is so you know, amazing. And I just want to thank God for you and tell you that I love you and we love you. And may God continue to bless you with more spiritual children, because I know your territory is massive and God is going to continue to bring many to the kingdom of God through you. Amen.
Hello. We're visiting today, but we're old friends of David and Sally's. And David said, I just want to honor you. It's a joy to be here today and to see people blessed by your ministry. And I want to thank God for you. Thank you for just being willing to serve. Right from the first month or so we met you, you were willing to come on a camp with us and take teenagers away. You've been a blessing to our children. Our children are following God, and I know a lot of that is due to you and your giving to them. So I thank God for you today.
I'd just like to say that you shine. From the moment I met you, you have just shined and you are amazing. And everyone that sees you shining him and glorifying his name. And I just pray that you will be blessed. That you will be blessed in your family with your children. And that you're amazing.
I wrote down lots of stuff and then I lost it, so I had to rethink what I wanted to. But I want to just say that I really thank God for you as a family, because you're a great example of how God gives his time. He gives his time and he lays down his life for his sheep. And you really do that. There's no hour of the day, no time that you're not reachable, or you're not willing to go out there, you're not willing to guide. You've really given an abundance. An example I have is, I wish Sean was here, because Sean gave an example that really just exemplifies you as a unit, and which is that she was walking down the road one day and she met David, and David had just gone to him and he said very randomly, do you want a banana? And she's like, oh, actually, thank you, David. I'm not in need of bananas right now. But just a desire to meet need wherever there is need. And you don't just meet need in general. You're very, you observe very carefully what that person is like and what they would like. And Sally is very detailed about how she will give that gift. And that's just, it's a very beautiful example of the way God blesses us, because God doesn't just, you know, throw out stuff, but he says, ah, no, my child, they need that, and they need it because of this, this, and this. And I've learned a lot from that. I got this card. It was one of the cards we got, but it wasn't written in, because I just thought it wasn't very pretty. But it does really exemplify. Psalm 1 verse 3 says that that the righteous will be like a well, like a garden which bears by a stream, which bears fruit in its season. And this guy, it just shows a garden with beautiful roses, because your marriage is very much like a garden that's very well tended, and you invite people to be roses and you tend them within your unit. And I just thank God for that. So I want to give that to you, even though it's not so pretty, but... but thank God. And I also wanted to thank God for your leadership and the fellowship that you that we've experienced with you. And the way that your marriage is an example of cooperation and great agreement. I can't remember if it was Nadine or I who said it a few years ago, but I think but you can start a conversation with it, which is just amazing and a real model for us. So it's really great. Thank God.
Thank you very much. I can only say that I'm very happy to be able to be identified with your congregation. I think I've known you for a while now, but both of you, and I thank God for the privilege and the grace, and your contribution to my daughter's life. It's quite appreciated. Unfortunately, I met your parents, and I think your dad is almost the same thing like you. But I thank God for that, and I pray that God will continue to establish you in this ministry, and that what God has started will continue in your life and the life of in both of you and the life of the congregation. And I know that God is taking you places, and His grace will continue to be in abundance in this community. I praise you for your how do you say it? Revival and support, because I knew that I came here with my whole family for a baptismal renewal. We were Christians. We've been a Christian for a while, but I was a Catholic initially, and I had to do the water baptism here, which was very good. And conveniently, you both supported and you did that. I appreciate that, and I thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy, and I will continue to pray that God will continue to grow you. God will continue to unite you, and your marriage will always be a model, and to always be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. So I cover you both with the blood of Jesus. And I seek the grace of God in abundance in your lives, in Jesus' mighty name. And also for all the followers and all the youths, all the young girls that are going to be mothers and parents in the future, I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to be with you in this community and with us all, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you very much for your selfless devotion. God bless you both. Thank you.
Just want to say thanks so much. Sometimes, Sally, you have me laughing on the train like a nutcase. So thank you for your patience, both of you, actually. Like, just the way... It's very... Like, I've never really experienced anything like it. It's almost like you can... Like Tyson said, you can start a conversation with David and finish it with Sally. It's really... But thank you so much for your patience, because I know, especially me, I've been quite fickle and... turning tides and but you have a lot of patience, you exercise a lot of love, and thank you so much, and we hope fertility is infectious. Yay.
I'm a man of few words, but I've been here for almost as long as you guys have been actually leading Tooting. So it's been really great having you two as the leaders and spearheading God's work moving into St. George's, and just seeing the progress through that. Thank you so much for standing up there. looking after your kids and the church. I mean, as people have already said, I can't imagine how you manage with four, let alone all the rest of us stuck on top of that. But it's been such an honour helping with the church, with you guys in charge, and also just the way that you gently encourage us to step somewhat outside of our comfort zones, which you've certainly been doing, and I'm sure you will be doing a bit more of before too long with me. So just want to thank you so much for everything you've done.
I think before, cause as long as there's a photo of the cake before the children, I think they should eat some, but as long as someone gets a photo before they do, because that will keep them quiet so we can hear what you're saying.
Okay. We're going to pray for David and Sally, but we'll have a couple more.
I just want to say thank you so much, because I know, you know, through all the difficult times that I've had, me personally, you have directly been a blessing to me. You've been faithful and selfless, and your great models, your great examples. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And I thank God that we can testify to that now here. And I also want to thank you that for the entire congregation, I want to thank you that you let God work through you. You let him do his will in your lives. You set a good example for us. I thank you for your faithfulness towards my sister, towards my sisters, towards my family, towards my parents. God bless you. And we have a mission at this in this church. And indeed, you know, all around the world, where else all saints are, Christians are, to be praying for people like you, to be praying that God will keep you. God will keep your children as they grow up. They will be faithful. You will bear many, many more fruits. The blessing of the Lord in your life will abound in hundreds of folds. That is the blessing of God for his children. I just really thank you. I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you so much, and God bless you. Thank you.
Like Christ, David and Sally are quite famous internationally, and I just got a message on WhatsApp from Tafaza saying, congratulations, happy anniversary.
Okay, this is the last one before we pray.
I just want to say thank you to David and Sally for being so accommodating with our last minute requests. And I know it couldn't have been easy, you having to be that rock that stands there and smile all the time and have to tell everyone that everything is all right when everyone comes to you with their issues. So I just especially thank God, because you received the mandate which we are all called to receive, and you were courageous enough to take that leap of faith and run with it, because it couldn't have been easy with four young children, your careers, and having to run the church as well. And I just pray that the courage that and the trust that you have in each other will not diminish, and when the two of you are alone and you are faced with those issues that are between the two of you, that you'd always remember that God is there with you, that you're not alone. And whatever challenges you face, that you are currently facing, like any other couple, that the Lord will be more than able to satisfy you and to take you through. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, David, for everything. David and Sally, for everything you've done for me over the years. And I love you very much. Even though sometimes I'm like a bad sheep, I love you.
No, I just, there's lots of things to say, but well, for one, yeah, like listen, Richard, if you're a bad sheep, you are sheep, and you know, we love you to death, you know what I mean? If you need a kidney, we're donating it, you know? And, so children, doesn't mean children don't frustrate you, like, you know, just look at Jan and Moses and Christian and Zoe Joy, but, like, we love you all, and you're actually just very, very, very easy to love, really. It's very easy to love you. And just Robert and Louise, our pastors, we just really want to honor them, thank them, they introduced us to the Holy Spirit, and I don't know where I'd be without knowing him and fellowshipping with him now. They're very patient, especially with me. David was, you know, he was like a sponge, but I was like a, wanting to be dry or whatever, but you know, they refined us during that time at South Hills Baptist Church and New Frontiers Church. And I just want to say, David, like, I honor you, I love you, I obey you, you know, with my body I honor you, and I give up the right to myself to become one with you. I can't remember all the rest of our wedding vows, but I just I just like reiterate them and just declare them. And it was like actually on our 10th wedding anniversary, we were actually in the Monkton Theatre and with South Hills Baptist Church and other churches across London. We were doing a mission and, you know, like young people had been in there, and I think we were the last ones to pack everything up. It was something like 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, and we had to go back to the campsite to be with the other young people. But actually, I wouldn't have wanted to be anywhere else for our 10th wedding anniversary and, you know, serving God and doing it together. And I just really, you know, I had no idea we'd actually be worshipping and claiming ground in this place just a few, like, 7 years later. And so I just thank God for the seeds we've sown together and the harvest that's going to come. And and I just want to thank David that he loves me absolutely warts and all. He sees the absolute best of me, the absolute worst. And he's ever loving, ever faithful. And I just praise God he's a man after God's own heart, that when he hears God's call on his life, he will pursue that thing and lead us there. Because I'm often slower I hear God's voice, but it's not necessarily that I want to go where he's telling us to go. I just really thank God, like, he saved me, he gave me life. I'm born again by the power of his Holy Spirit. He's filled me with his Holy Spirit, he's transforming me. And and I just thank you that Jesus, that I can actually just together we can just, you know, just give a little fraction of Christ, how he loves the church and lays down his life for the church. And we get it wrong so many times, but I just thank you that we're still standing. And that there's more to come. But yeah, just how Fred was saying, if he dies tomorrow, the marriage is over, but God's kingdom is eternal. And you know, like, romantically you think, oh no, but actually, yeah, I just know that God is obviously way much more than we are, and I just praise him for that he would just use us. And yeah, his kingdom's coming.
And Sally, I didn't realize this 17 years ago, so it's not a repeat, but Lucille told us last week to listen to the heart. So I choose to listen to your words, but I choose to see your heart, and I thank God for your heart. As Sally said, Richard, we produce sheep, we don't produce goats, and even if they have bad spells, they're good sheep. Because we have a good shepherd. And I kind of want to preach, but I won't. but we had a couple of texts or phone conversations yesterday, and we realized something might be amiss. So well done, Dong, for your pickup in our back room, 2nd of September 1995. And just to say, I'm not going to preach, but it is a new season for this congregation, a season where parents of adults are blessed. So Richard being here, Robert and Louise being here, Joseph, Olusei being here, Daniel and Hannah about to go into that period where your children become parents. And for us spiritually, our children, you're becoming parents. You're not quite there. you're maturing in a way that Johanna will do in about, 10 years' time or so, ready to become a parent. And it's great to see. It's really good to see. And Robert and Louise, they, as Sally said, they pastored us in our previous church. We thank God for you. We thank God for New Frontiers. And we thank God that we're Shofar. It's who we are. Our circle is Shofar. And there are walls. You can't just come in and out. But as Fred said last week, there's a huge open door to this family, the Shofar family. And we want all of us here to go and get people and bring them through this open door. Because we want to fill this room, and we will,
and then we find another room. And it's not about the size of our church, and it's not about shofar, it's not about shofar tooting. It's all about God and his kingdom. It's all about him, and it's all about his kingdom. And marriage is all about him and all about his kingdom. And I just, yeah, thank God, because about a month ago, Johanna and I went to Southfield Baptist Church. Robert and Louise were having a leaving do. And I thought, okay, it'd be nice when our children are old enough to be able to honour us in the spiritual and the natural, in the way that your children honoured you. And I didn't think then it would come within a month. But it's here, and we receive your honour.
So if you have a prayer for David and Sally, would you like to stand around them? And you can take the mic one by one and pray for David and Sally. And anyone else, you can still pray for them. Stretch your arms out and pray in the Spirit and pray for David and Sally. But anyone else with specific prayers, if you'll come to the front around and pray.
And if you need cake to energize your prayer, welcome to go with the cake. And can we have a writer?
Someone says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so." Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that David can stand here, Lord God, as examples of a well-watered garden. I thank you, Lord God, that they bear good fruit, Lord, and we're witnesses of that, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for all that you have done in our lives, Lord God, and through them, Father. I thank you, Father, for the way they stand solid, Lord God, and unmoved, Father, because of the grace that you've given them, O Lord, and because of their roots planted deep in you. Lord God, I just want to use this opportunity to bless their marriage, O Lord, over the next many years to come, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do through them, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for their trust in you. I thank you, Father, for the faith that they have in you, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Father, for the shield of faith that is up, Father, against the arrows of the enemy, Lord God, against the arrows that are directed against their marriage, that are directed against their stability, directed against any aspect, Lord God, of their assuredness in Christ, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are mighty and able to save them, mighty and able to use them to lead this church, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that they will not fall short of this, Father, because you hold them up, Lord God. You said the righteous have many troubles, but you deliver them from everyone. And I thank you, Father, for we are witnesses of how you delivered them, Lord God, and how you deliver us, Lord God. And Father, we just give you glory, and all of this is about you, Lord God, to reflect your glory and you, Jesus, with your bride. And I thank you that they serve as a good example of Jesus with his bride, Lord. I pray that, Father, that we will continue to see this in their lives, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just really want to thank you for this day, Lord, because this is the day, Lord, that you have made. And we are rejoicing and we are so glad in it. So, Father, we give you thanks for David and Sally. We thank you for Johanna, Moses, and Christian, and Zoe Joy, Lord. We just thank you for their children, and we just thank you, Lord, that we can even see our image in their children and the way they relate to their children. Father, we just thank you for your image that's imprinted in this family. Lord God, we just want to say, Lord, today receive all the glory and the honor for these 17 years, Lord, for your grace, Lord, towards them, for your mercy towards them, for your love towards them, for your strength, Lord God, which has been continually renewed, Father God, so that they can not only be a blessing to to their children, but also to their spiritual children and to the body of Christ and to the kingdom of God. So, Father, Lord, today we celebrate David and Sally, Lord God, and we celebrate their marriage, Lord. In this season, Lord, when we see marriage so much under attack and people getting divorced and even Christians are failing to uphold your image, Father, we just want to thank you that we have a role model. We have an example, Lord, of unconditional love and just your grace that we experience through them, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you for their lives. I thank you, Lord, for their leadership. And I thank you, Father, that servant leadership that was in you, Jesus Christ. When you say the greatest amongst you is the least, I just want to thank you, Lord, that we can see that through David and Sally, Lord, that they serve and they do not hold themselves highly, but they humble themselves. They receive help and they offer help all the time. Father, we just want to thank you that us as their children, Lord, will not only learn from them in this way, but we will become, Lord God, that image, your image that we see through them, Lord God. Father, so we just pray even going on from here, Lord, that you bless them and keep them, Lord. That your peace, Lord God, will be upon them. That you lift up the countenance of their faces, Lord, and their children. That no harm shall befall them, Lord. We just declare, Lord, that their house, their family is surrounded by a hedge of fire. That no arrow of the enemy that is formed against them will be able to prosper. Father, I thank you even for the authority that you give us in our mouth and in their mouth, Lord, to condemn every evil word, every negative word that is spoken against them. Father, we just glorify you for the kingdom of God that's going to continue to come through them. And Father, we thank you for the privilege to share with them this day. And I just pray, Lord, that your name will continue to be glorified in and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you for David and Sally. Lord, I thank you for their lives. Lord, I thank you for their children. Lord, I thank you for their marriage. Lord, I thank you for their parents. Lord, I thank you for their spiritual parents. Lord, I thank you for their journey. Lord, I thank you for their past. Lord, I thank you for their future. Lord, I thank you for where you're taking them. Lord, I thank you, Father, Lord, for the strength to continue to go on. Lord, I thank you for the strength to continue to pursue. Lord, I thank you for the love that you've deposited in them by your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you help them to continue to love, Lord. I pray, Father, Lord, that you help them to continue to be patient, Lord. I pray that you help them to stand firm till the end. Lord, I pray that you help them, oh Lord, to run the race fully in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord, they will not grow weary of doing good in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for the strength from the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. When Daniel cried out, he said, look, I'm weak, Lord, but you strengthen him. Lord, I pray, Lord, as you strengthen your apostles, Lord, I pray that you strengthen them as well in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, Father, for the joy of the Lord in their household in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for their children that they will serve you fully in the name of Jesus. They will serve you with all their hearts in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that they will live long to proclaim your name in Jesus' mighty name. Father, Lord, they will live to fulfill the plan and the purpose that you have set for them in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray you keep them united, keep them standing as one. Lord, that, you know, just harmony and peace will continue to dwell in their household. I pray against any form of division in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord, as they continue to wear your armor, Lord, they will continue to be protected by you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Yes, Father, I just want to agree with the prayer of all your saints this morning, O Lord, and we just honor Dave and Sally for the leader that you've appointed them to be, Father. We just thank you for the authority that you've given them, O Lord, and the way they have led us, Father, in wisdom and in truth, Father. And we just ask that your grace be upon them, that they will continue to do so, Father, that in the words of 1 Philippians 9:11, that their love will abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, Father, that they will approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, and that the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God, so that they will abound in more, Father. And we just give you thanks and give you honor, glory, Father, for the covenant that they have that is in you, Lord. And we just pray for your continued protection, that your host, your army of hosts will be with them, O Lord, and that no scheme of the evil one against them will prosper, Father, and that They will just continue to be salt and light in this earth, O Lord, and just bring many people to the knowledge of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen.
Father, I pray that this couple will know what your servant David knew. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, I thank you for their gift of hospitality. I thank you that I experienced it this morning in the gift of a cup of coffee. I've experienced it many times. God, I pray that you would extend that gift of hospitality. I thank you for their gift of including many diverse people around their table, and that you will fill that table with good things, both physical and spiritual, that they may nourish many. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father God, that you have made these two in your image, Lord. Father, I pray that you would bless them, Lord, in knowing what that image looks like for each of them, Lord, that you have made David a man in your image and you have made Sally a woman in your image. Father, I pray that you would give them wisdom to know how to continue to walk, Father, and also the maturity that you've given them up to this point, Lord. I pray that you would just increase what they know of you, Lord, as you are unfathomable to us, Lord. You are bigger and wider and deeper and higher than anything that we could understand, Lord. And I pray that you just continue to give them more and more knowledge of who you are, Lord, that you would take them deeper, deeper, deeper into the things of you, Lord. And as they continue to minister and show your love, Lord, that would just be beyond any human thing that they could do, Lord. As people look at them and say, how do they do this? Lord, it's because of you, and your name be glorified in their lives.
And Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for that three-cord rope that binds these two together, Lord, for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just want to pray, Lord, that as they continue to push into the Father's love, to seek your heart, for that rope would grow stronger and stronger and would bind them closer and closer together. And I just Father, I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what we've seen and what we've witnessed in this couple so far, Lord. And I know that there's something else in that for us, and we thank you for that as it comes out, Lord. But I just want to just have a picture of a fleece, that God's given you a fleece that covers you and your family. And it's a fleece that's soft, it's gentle, but it's warm, and it's also strong, and it gives you a strength in him.
Father, Lord, we thank you for this couple, Lord. Father, in heaven, we come and ask, just like David desired, that this church will continue to grow. That this church will grow. This church is built on your foundation, O Lord. And you said, unless you build your house, you said, build us labor in vain. Do not let us labor in vain. Father, bless this couple abundantly, O Lord. Let this church continue to multiply. Let your Holy Spirit continue to dwell in this place. Father, Lord, do not let the gate of hell prevail over this church. My God, my Father, we commit this couple and their leadership unto you, Lord. Let this church continue to multiply. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.
Father God, I just thank you for David and Sally, Lord, that they're planted in the house of the Lord, their Father God. This is Psalm 92:13-15. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They shall flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap of spiritual vitality and rich in the verdure of trust, love, and contentment. They are living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen.
Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for their hard work. Thank you for their perseverance and their obedience to you. Thank you for who they really are in Christ. And Lord, I just ask you to continue to bless your faithful servants. And they will see their reward on this earth as well as in heaven. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I just thank you for David and Sally. I thank you for all the wonderful blessings you've poured out on them. I thank you for the way that you continually work in and through them day and night. Father, I just pray that you keep them strong in you. I pray that you keep them close to your heart, that they'd continue to minister to this congregation the way they have been, Lord, and that we'll just see this place flooding through with new people and people just coming to Christ, Lord. I just pray that you just pour out your blessing upon them and the children, Father. Keep them safe, Father God. And I just thank you for their role as spiritual parents to this entire congregation, for the encouragement that they've been, Lord. And I just pray that you keep them strong in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
It says in Job that to fear the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun all evil, that is understanding. And Lord, I just thank you that David and Sally just really show that wisdom and that understanding on a daily basis in their lives, God. I thank you, Lord, that it is your will that they seek. It is your voice that they seek, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they lay down their lives every day for you. That it is you whom they pick up their cross for. In the name of Jesus, we honor them today, Lord. We honor them for the sacrifices that they've made. We honor them for the joy that they bring to people's life, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that they know a love without boundaries. They know a joy beyond measure, and that they experience blessings without number. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I just want to thank you for David and Sally. Lord, particularly, I want to honor them for their servant-heartedness, Lord. I want to honor them for their willing spirits to serve and to guide and to bless, Lord, and their open-handed approach they have to life, Lord, and their willingness to accept people. I would just honor them, and I pray your blessing over them and their marriage and their children. In your name, amen.
Amen. Cake. Okay, so thank you all for your prayers. We thank you, David and Sally. We just want to welcome the other Shofar members who have come from other Shofar Wimbledon, Alan and Roz as well. Thanks for visiting us. We thank you for David and Sally. Thank you for all visitors. And also, I just want to, Erna's not here, but we just want to give tribute to Erna for making that amazing cake. You'll see a picture of it because the kids have already had most of it. but do enjoy it. And she made it for David and Sally.
Congratulations.